Subtlety is in short supply in most contemporary films, but the new movie Bernie deftly investigates a murder in a small East Texas town with unusual finesse and genuineness. Bernie is as much a humorous character study as it is a crime procedural and stars Jack Black and Shirley MacLaine. It's a refreshing work from a first-time screenwriter, and it's a true story. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is journalist and screenwriter Skip Hollandsworth, who adapted his 1998 Texas Monthly article, Midnight in the Garden of East Texas, into the new feature film, Bernie, with co-writer and director Richard Linklater. I'm happy to have Skip Hollandsworth on the program today. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thank you for talking with us from your home in Dallas. I want to just start by saying that this is a very unique murder story from a small town in Carthage, Texas, and it began as, I guess, a piece for Texas Monthly, and I'm curious what, back in the late 90s, attracted you to this as a, I guess, a long-form magazine piece.
Well, I was reading the Dallas Morning News, and there was a two-paragraph story in the state briefs that said a 39-year-old assistant funeral home director in the town of Carthage in Far East Texas named Bernie Titi had been arrested for murdering an oil-rich widow, the town's grand dame, Marjorie Nugent, who was 81 years old. I was intrigued. Then the second sentence read that he shot her four times in the back and buried her in her own deep freeze, where she remained for 9 months before anyone started looking for her. And I began taking notebooks and pens and starting to put them in my briefcase. And then the second paragraph said that Bernie was the sole heir to her estate, which was worth millions. Yet in his police confession, he told police that he shot her anyway because she was making him so crazy he didn't know what else to do. And I was on the road to Carthage that afternoon. And I arrived at the town's best restaurant, Daddy Sam's Barbecue, with a marquee out front that reads, "You kill it, I'll cook it." And there sat, literally named, the district attorney, Danny Buck Davidson. We did not make that name up. Surrounded by townspeople who were saying, "Come on now, Danny Buck. We love Bernie. We all hated Mrs. Nugent. Is there any way you can get Bernie off on probation or not have a trial at all?" And I went, "Good Lord, this is going to be one heck of a story." Because I spend most of my career sort of traversing Texas writing crime stories, murder mysteries, offbeat kind of tales like that. And I just sort of knew within the first day that this was going to be one of the classics.
It's the sort of story that if you were to write it from scratch fictionally, people might claim it's a satire of East Texas, but it comes off as so genuine and that these people are so authentic. I can see where that hook got in you at an early point. At what point did Richard Linklater reach out to you to consider turning this into a film?
Well, he read the story, which ran in the January 1998 issue of Texas Monthly. And he said, and he calls me, and we had never met. I knew who he was as this well-regarded, independent film director who had done movies like Slacker and Dazed and Confused and Before Sunrise, these small miniature classics, the critics called them. But I knew almost nothing about him. In fact, I pronounced his last name Linklater, like he was Art Linklater's son, instead of Linklater. And he calls me up and goes, "This could be a heck of a movie." I said, "You're not kidding." And then told him a few more details, and he says, "Do you want to write the screenplay with me?" Which was a really odd request at the time, because I didn't even have screenplay software on my computer. I had trouble reading screenplays, let alone writing one. I was a journalist. I'd been trained to write in a journalistic narrative style, not in screenplay style. I knew how to get quotes, and I knew how to get facts. And what I didn't understand at the time was that Linklater already sensed what he wanted that movie to be, which was to follow the facts of the case and to have the story narrated by people playing a kind of Greek chorus of townspeople gossiping about what happened. Because his argument was that in small towns, you're defined by the gossip that's said about you, not necessarily by what you do or don't do. And so that was the conceit he wanted to use. And so he didn't need a screenplay writer to help him invent scenes. He needed someone to help him recreate the vernacular and the dialogue and what actually happened. So in many ways, what you're watching when you watch that film is almost documentary-like. It's just the facts of the story.
I completely agree. And, you know, I think one of the fascinating things, too, is that chorus of townspeople you referred to are actually played mostly by townspeople.
They're played by townspeople, some of whom came from Carthage. He had auditions in Longview, Carthage, and Texarkana. And he didn't have people read the lines we had written for them, for the townspeople to say. He just had people look at the camera and tell stories. He wanted people who had that kind of unvarnished, natural ability to talk in that East Texas way. And those are the ones he hired. Well, some of them actually knew Mrs. Nugent and Bernie, and they were given lines to read. Some of them didn't know any of them, but came from smaller towns nearby. So it added this weird kind of authenticity to the movie. So much so that a lot of people think we didn't write any of those lines, that's what people were genuinely saying. And in fact, many of the lines came from my reporting. Someone said to me, you know, we ought to really understand him. He only shot her four times, not five. And that's in the movie. And someone said to me, you know, she was so snobbish, talking about Mrs. Nugent, that she held her nose so high that she would have drowned in a rainstorm. That's in the movie.
We should note here that the title character Bernie is played marvelously by Jack Black in a really change of pace for him. It's a modulated performance. Most people think of him as doing bigger than life characters, but he really sinks into this beautifully evocation of this title character. And then his victim, his ward for part of the film, is played by Shirley MacLaine. In this very stone-faced, I don't know how else to describe her. Her face is almost set in a permanent frown.
And she, you know, we all make fun of Shirley MacLaine for her channeling. But she openly said that she was channeling the dead Mrs. Nugent to the extent that she wouldn't touch people. If you watch the movie closely, yes. She recoils when anyone tries to hug her or pat her on the back. She just invented that. When Mrs. Nugent's real-life nephew came to the set one day to watch the filming, he went to Shirley MacLaine and said, "How did you know that my aunt Marge never liked anyone to touch her?" She says, "I felt it, and it was just an eerie sort of moment." The interesting thing about Jack Black is he's Jewish. So he grew up never hearing that. A lot of the movie is set in churches and at the funeral home where there's a lot of old Christian hymns sung. He had never heard of any of these hymns. He had not, let alone sung them. He had never heard them. And, I mean, he had never heard Amazing Grace. And over the course of the shooting, he fell in love with this old-time Christian hymn singing and was really just sort of caught up in the character completely. He, you know, it was this sort of perfect acting role. He got to be comedic, he got to be tragic, he got to be funny, he got to do music, sing in a musical, he got to sing at the church, and yet he got to play this bewildered, perhaps psychopathic killer. I mean, it was a role of a lifetime for him.
I also think that, you know, it is a dark comedy in some ways. It's humorous in moments. It's not always laugh-out-loud funny, so it's not a comedy in that sense. But I'm wondering if someone other than Richard Linklater, who's from East Texas originally, and yourself, who's from Dallas and has traveled the state, someone from outside the state might have turned this off that fine line you bridge, and it become a satire. It become something where we're laughing at these people instead of with them. Because throughout the film, there's such a line that's kept that you are sympathetic to the authenticity of these people.
Yeah. I think that was something that we thought about a lot, was are we making the characters from Carthage look like parodies? And, you know, are people who watch this movie in Boston just going to think it's a total satire because we're using names for the attorneys like Danny Buck Davidson and Scrappy Holmes, the defense attorney.
Right.
Well, those are their real names.
Right.
And all those antics and hijinks that went on during the trial scene at the very end of the movie, that's straight from the trial transcript. And Richard would always say, you know, there was some protest before the filming began that we were going to make everybody in Carthage look like characters out of Deliverance, a bunch of hicks.
Right.
And Richard always said that these are people he knew, that he grew up with, and he understood small-town life, where comedy and tragedy is always intertwined. And he would just say to everyone, trust me. And what's really interesting is that the people in Carthage who didn't want this movie to be made, that have now seen it, don't have a single complaint. I mean, they laugh at themselves, or they laugh with themselves on the screen.
Did you have much access to the real Bernie, who's in prison now?
Not when I first wrote the story. I mean, see, I didn't have access to Bernie because his lawyer didn't want me talking to him because the trial hadn't happened yet. And, of course, I didn't have access to Mrs. Nugent because she'd been murdered. So what I had access to, the way I told the story, was through the townspeople's eyes.
I want to ask you, too, that, you know, having spent your life writing for a magazine, long-form journalism, as you say, murder mysteries, in some ways it feels to me like, having read your article, your original piece in the Texas Monthly, that it captured a lot of the same feel and breakdown of the film, whereas maybe when an author is trying to translate their work from a novel into a screenplay, it'd be a lot harder. I'm just curious whether you felt that a natural extension of your journalistic background, or if there was still a lot there that you had to learn.
Well, there was a ton I had to learn, but I was really lucky in the sense that my mentor was this sort of well-established independent film director and writer. So the fact is that Richard really put the screenplay together. I would send him tons of dialogue, tons of scenes, a lot of which were just completely ridiculous, and he would throw out, but he just kept telling me to keep sending him stuff. And so I would send him things. I'd give him seven different things that a townsperson might say in this situation, and he'd use two or three of them. To be very honest, I was a glorified researcher for him and, you know, had interest, you know, lots of lines and plot settings and so on, but not, I didn't actually craft the screenplay. And it worked out really well because what Richard wanted from the very beginning was a journalist to help him. I mean, that was my role. And that's the other thing about the movie. The narrative is not made up. There's not one place where we stray from what really happened.
It's a delightful film, and I hope you write many more films now. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Well, thank you so much.
My guest today was journalist and screenwriter Skip Hollandsworth. Mr. Hollandsworth's 1998 Texas Monthly story, Midnight in the Garden of East Texas, was the basis for the film Bernie, starring Jack Black and Shirley MacLaine. The film was directed by and co-written with Austin auteur Richard Linklater. You can read Skip Hollandsworth's original story in the archive at texasmonthly.com. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.